Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. I hope everybody had a nice weekend. Well, you know, there was a lot of controversy last week on several news channels about Edward Snowden. And we talked about him briefly on Friday. And I posted on Facebook that I'm interested into whether or not people feel that he's a friend or a foe, a patriot or a traitor. I have mixed emotions. And because it's so hard now to decipher the actual truth, it's very possible that we'll never know. He wants to come back into the United States, so most definitely, and for other reasons too, I'm sure he portrays himself in a very good light. And I'm not sure that that's not where he belongs. But on the same token, if he'd done the same thing and had chosen a different venue to report it to, I might have different feelings about this. But then, of course, there's the fact that we have to take into account that we're often misguided, even when we're trying to do the right thing, all of us. And we often make mistakes when we make a decision as to whether or not we should do something or not do something. So maybe he did what he did for the right reasons, but I don't think he did his follow through the way it should have been done. I'm going to bring in Shelley because I've got some articles that I read yesterday and some of the things that I'm going to talk about, but I will also open this for discussion. If anybody has anything that they'd like to say to be an advocate for Edward, or if you think Edward should stay in Russia, I don't know. I think everybody has mixed emotions about it, and a lot of it is because we don't always hear the complete story, the full truth. So, good morning, Shel.
Good morning, Rainey. How are you?
How are you doing? I'm good.
Yeah, I'm doing good. Yeah, had a productive week.
Did your sister
week.
Get all moved in?
Yep. So that was good. We did some final running around yesterday, but things are shaping up. She's getting organized, and yeah, so we feel really good about that. And so we had a good weekend. Yeah, because she was moving. Now it's just organizing all the stuff that's over here and making it work in this house. You know, we're kind of reorganizing, but it's good because the stressful part is over. Now everything's here. Now it's just a matter of reorganizing, all the boxes that came over here. So.
Yeah, well, that's what we did this weekend. The pod got re-delivered, and
yeah,
we had to. My oldest son Spike has done a lot of work the last few weeks. He got all the younger guys helping, of course, Josh and Austin, and Spikey came over for a little while yesterday, too, and they unloaded the pod, so it's ready to be picked up again today, and we have an empty bedroom.
Isn't it nice that they're big, strapping men now and not little kids?
Yes.
I mean, they're all,
yes,
like, so athletic.
Yes, because
so
if I'd had to carry all that stuff, and, of course, Big Spike can't do much of anything because he's still pretty sick. So I'd probably be talking to you sitting on an ice pack if I'd had to do all that yesterday or the day before. So what are your feelings on Edward Snowden, Michelle?
I only got through about three-quarters of the interview, and I actually tried to watch it on TV last night, but I waited all day to watch it. And then when I went onto the channel, they had they had the wrong show. In other words, it said Interview with Snowden, and then it turned out to be something else. I watched half the show before I realized that they had just put the wrong show on there because it wasn't the whole show was supposed to be the interview. So I ended up Googling it, and I found it, and I watched it late last night. I only got through about three-quarters of it. I also found a couple others, a documentary that's out that I'm going to watch later today. But I first of all, I felt that he speaks very intelligently. When he said, you know, he has a 10-year history of this, that he's been working behind the scenes in different intelligence, that he's worked undercover, this is not somebody that was, this is somebody that has deeper knowledge than the government is acknowledging. And that's sort of what the government does whenever there's a situation. We've seen this happen in history before. We've seen it happen with other people, that the government will assassinate somebody's character that they want to discredit information over. I can think of a couple people. I'm not going to say their names on the show right now, but I know of one individual this happened to, where they discredited the individual because they were trying to discredit the information that came out by this individual, and they couldn't. The information stood on its own. So what they did is they tried to assassinate the character of this person, and I think that's what's happening with Snowden. He made a couple of really good points in the interview, which I was waiting to hear addressed, is that in the documents he released, there was nothing about our weaponry, there was nothing about our military strategy released, so there was nothing that would put any of our armed forces in jeopardy. Now, this is a claim the government keeps putting out there, and according to Snowden, and I believe him, he comes across extremely credible to me. He said that he was careful not to release any of those type of documents, that the documents he released were specifically with regard to these surveillance programs that are being used against private individuals. And one of the things he talked about, he didn't use the term McCarthyism, but that's what he's talking about. He, like the one program he was talking about where if you're sitting there and you're typing an email and this surveillance equipment doesn't just monitor your final email, it monitors you creating the email. So what it does is it has the capacity to analyze you as an individual because it sees how you think. It watches how you type a sentence and then you backspace and you delete a couple words and you change it. So it starts creating a profile of you. And if you do something that program sees as suspicious, it's then going to flag you for deeper surveillance. Now, this is something that you're not capturing drug dealers doing this. That program is not to catch people that are already suspected for these types of crimes. And this is this is what Snowden is trying to get across, and I understand where he's coming from, and I agree with it, is that there are a lot of programs out there to catch criminals because of that type of activity. The government already knows who the drug kingpins are. They're not trying to discover. They're just trying to discover their distributors. This type of a program wouldn't be used for that. This is almost like a McCarthyism, where they're trying to track people who they feel may be conducting themselves in a way that that could be used to control individuals. And that's where you start stepping into what happened in Nazi Germany. Now, when you look at what happened in Nazi Germany, 50 years ago, or what was it now? It was like 80 years ago, I guess, now. It happened very gradually. People started losing their liberties little by little, and then all of a sudden, they had no liberties, but it was taken away from them very gradually. And at the time, the people in Germany, maybe you didn't have mass media like you do now, didn't see what was going because people didn't talk to each other. So I've heard other concerns about the fact that the government is taking liberties they really don't have. And one of the things he said countless times in the interview was that he had questioned, and he formally questioned in writing to his higher-ups, that he believed the NSA was overstepping their legal authority in some of the surveillance they were doing, that they really didn't have the legal permission to do this, and they were like sidestepping what the American public would have approved of and had approved and laws that had put in place, so that the NSA was really, really sidestepping that. And a lot of what happened since 9/11 is that a lot of the Constitution has been basically tossed out the window, giving the U.S. government the ability to do certain things that prior to 9/11 would have never flown. So 9/11, what happened there was actually used to be able to give the government more authority to be more invasive on private individuals. My concern is to create a McCarthy type of atmosphere again, where you have innocent people being suspected of wrongdoing because of an email they put out. You know, things that we let, like what the newscaster said. He said, "Well, I haven't done anything wrong. I don't care if the government spies on me." But when you go to that type of a mentality, like the witch hunts, like the McCarthy era, people that had done nothing wrong were being tagged as witches, were being tagged as criminals, were being tagged as unpatriotic to the government, based on things that they said and did that were misinterpreted, because you had people there that had suspicious minds. So if this program...
Yeah, but you also have the other side of that coin. I'm going to interrupt you there because I want to make a point about what you just said. That's all true, that somebody can make a statement and have it be blown out of proportion, misconstrued, et cetera, and then assumptions made on the, you know, by another entity. That's for sure. That is for sure. We talk about this all the time, your truth, my truth, and the real truth. Absolutely. However, what about the fact that history has shown us time and time again that if we don't, you know, not knowing something can hurt us? I mean, that's been proven over and over again. And I don't know if there is an appropriate organization, party, group of men and women, any of those things that would be able to analyze and interpret anything and always know exactly what they're looking at. I don't know that. I do know that when it's simplified, though, like when you've got somebody that is repeatedly buying guns, you know, randomly buying guns, or has taken 30 people and gotten them flying lessons, or I don't know, there's a million different things that a little, you know, a little light should go on. I agree with you, Michelle,
that
we can make more out of that.
Okay, but this is my point here, and this is why I don't think that Snowden is a loose cannon. I don't think he acted irrationally. I think he considered this for a long time. I think he tried to go through the higher ups in his organization first, based on his own testimony when he was interviewed. This isn't something, you know, this wasn't a knee-jerk reaction by his part. This was something that transpired over a year's time. He tried to go to higher-ups in his organization. He went to higher-ups in two different organizations. He was so disturbed by the access he was having and that he felt that it went against the, you know, the U.S. population. These programs are not being used to find mass murderers. They're not being used to find drug dealers. So the government saying that he's damaged, you know, national security, I don't think is true. I think that these programs are invasive to the U.S. population, and I don't think they were being used to find this, because these programs were being used for many years, according to Snowden. All right? Why didn't these programs find people that were putting out emails saying that they were going to commit these violent acts? You know, we've had these mass murders taking place, you know, kids shooting up schools and stuff. So if these programs were out there to catch that type of activity, why didn't it catch that activity? Why didn't it hone in on these kids before they went in and shot up a high school?
I don't think that there's any way they could have known that, because that's very personal, and that's not some kind of something that's plotting with several different people. All of the individuals that have committed these crimes have had mental health issues, absolutely, positively.
No, but a lot of them had put stuff out on the, I mean, we just heard about the one recently, but that's been going on for a decade, where people would post emails would post videos and stuff about their intent. And then after this horrible thing happened, then people would say, oh, yeah, well, this video was put up, and it was like a threat, and nobody responded to it. These programs, if, in fact, they were out there to protect us, why didn't they pick up on these type of things? So I don't think
that's what they're looking for. They're not looking for individual issues when they have somebody in place like Edward Snowden. At least that's not the way I'm looking at this. Here's the truth about that one that you're talking about right now. The parents saw it. The parents told the officials that it was there. And instead of them thinking that they should go look at it and get a feel for what was going on, they didn't. They didn't look at it at all. When mom and dad called and said, we're worried about our son, this is what's going on, this is what he posted, nobody looked at it. So I think that's a separate issue, Shell.
No,
I really
it's not
think
a separate
that's
issue. That's my point, Rainey.
How can it not be? How can it not be?
Wait a minute. The government is saying that these programs are out there. You have to understand, what he's so upset about is these programs that are out there, and he talked about three different ones. They monitor private individuals' phone and email. The minute you turn your phone on, the minute you go on your email, there's these tracking softwares that go in and watch what you type, watch what you say to each other in private conversations, one-on-one, okay? It looks at the activity. What kind of sites do you go on when you Google? Now, I know this is true because I go on the Internet. I do searches. I'll just give you an example. I go in and I do a couple searches in a day, okay? I might go on two or three different websites. Then I go on to a fourth website to look up something else, and up on the advertisements, because a lot of sites allow advertising on their sites, now all of a sudden two of the other sites I went on are now advertising on the fourth site I go on to. So there is definitely a history.
Oh, yeah, I see that all the time. Oh, yeah, okay. Absolutely. I don't disagree with that, of course, yes. You get on your email and look at, say you're looking for a used car and you're bombarded by every car dealership in the next 50 states.
Right.
Yes, that's
right.
All true.
So that's
yes.
How sophisticated the Internet is, and the government is using that. What Snowden is saying, and what I agree to, because this has been a concern of mine for a long time, and I've seen it happening over about a decade, okay, is that these particular surveillance techniques are not being used, as the government claims, to flush out criminals, to flush out drug dealers or terrorists or things like that. They're being used to spy on private individuals, and to that end is to basically pick people, to control people who they feel might be other whistleblowers or might take an unpatriotic stance to the government based on their view of patriotism. You know, I'm very patriotic. I love the United States. But I have a lot of criticisms about how poorly the government is run and how the right hand rarely knows what the left hand is doing. One of the things Snowden
we both agree with that, that's for sure. We both understand, and we both talked about more than a dozen of stories about where you have to wonder what everybody's thinking that's in a position of knowing or power or sitting someplace where they could do something to make things better before they get out of hand. Absolutely. All I'm saying about Edward Snowden, and this is what I struggle with, is I don't think it's a bad idea to keep an eye on everybody. I don't. I don't think it's a good idea to let people who don't know how to judge what they're reading or what they're seeing or what they're looking at not know how to analyze it properly. I do believe that. And I don't know that I know anybody who has that ability, because your own life leads you to feel differently about everything we see. You and I are very, very close. You and I do a lot of things that are very similar. We believe in a lot of things that are the same. And yet you and I can have amazing arguments over just one point of view. Why?
Right.
Because our lives have led us into different arenas and make us analyze things that happen to us or to others in accordance to what we've lived, what we know, what we've seen with our own two eyes, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
If you
the whole thing is I personally know two individuals, and when I say personally, it means I've had conversations with them, I've spoken to them face-to-face, I know the background of where they ended up. I know two people personally that were railroaded by particular government offices because they said something that they were whistleblowing on a particular area of business that was partially affected by the government. I'm talking like the FDA. I'm not talking about military. I'm talking the FDA, and I forgot the other council.
They're already gone. Hang on, Michelle.
Okay.
I forgot to give my grandson $5. It's Chick-fil-A day today. And I forgot. I thought about it early this morning, and I just remembered it. And his uncle just took him to the bus stop, so Grandpa's got to run down and give him his $5 for his celebratory lunch today for the last week of school. So, sorry, everybody.
That's okay.
Some things just take precedence over these big worldly things. You know, $5 for a 7-year-old, everybody else will be eating chicken but him. I'd never forgive myself. So,
isn't that helpful?
Huh?
That kind of helps put things in perspective, though, because that really is very important to a 7-year-old.
It sure is. It sure is. Being able to do what everybody else is doing is everything. So, again, I don't, you know, me too. I've talked to people who have been put in a very strange place because of things that they've written. There was an article or an announcement today, this morning, on the 5:30 news about, what was it called, MySpace social network. Do you remember that one?
Yeah. I don't hear much about it anymore. Does it even exist anymore?
Well, they're trying to bring it back to compete against Facebook. So what they're doing is they're dredging up old pictures and old comments from people that were probably done 10 years ago, maybe longer ago, because I can't keep track of how long ago Facebook, but it seems like I've been doing Facebook for probably 5 years. And I find it an awesome way to hook up with people that I haven't seen or talked to or wouldn't have any idea how to even reach them anymore. So it's been fun for me. And, of course, now I use it for the radio show to contact other people and to stay in touch with a lot of people. And Facebook was an amazing instrument when my grandson was hurt. MySpace I never did, but they showed this morning on the early Channel 4 news that they're actually posting old photos. Some things are not going to sit very well with people being dredged up and things like that. And the people that do that news show said, I wouldn't want anybody posting a picture of me that I did when I was like 15 or something, you know, and I agree. But they still have those things intact that they can plaster all over and show everybody. So that kind of stuff I find discerning. I do. But I also feel like, you know, it is what it is. If you don't ever want anybody to see anything about you like that, you need to think about that before you do it. I say that to people who post certain things on Facebook. I say, what are you thinking?
That's right.
You didn't just write a note to your best girlfriend. You just put something on such a huge social network that thousands of people just read it, people you've never even seen before. So, you know, but that's all different. But I don't know. If I just look at him from a maternal point of view, which is how I look at a lot of things, we both know that, I watch his face, I watch the way he looks at things, I watch the way he talks, the way he holds himself and everything. I don't think he's a bad man. I don't think that at all. I do, however, believe that he's a little bit misguided.
I'm not getting that at all.
I know you're not. I know you're not. I could hear that by what you were saying.
Well,
but
what he's talking about I've seen with people that are very close to me, and if there's a government agency that is trying to protect a commercial industry, in my eyes, they will do things that I consider unethical. And it surprises me that our government supports some things that are unethical. You just look at the Food and Drug Administration. That's one of the biggest ones. It gets half of their funding from the pharmaceutical industry. How is that not a conflict of interest? So a lot of what's happening with the degradation of food and supplementations and things like that is because the government is getting involved in corporate profits. So anytime you get somebody who does whistleblowing on that, you see their lives are completely torn apart. And so I'm not going into specific stories or people, but there are people that I've met personally and spoken to that have had their lives ruined because of government influences, because they were monitored with some of these software packages, and information that was collected, taken out of context, was used against them. And that's what Snowden is talking about. So if I'm a private individual and I already know, actually I know three people. I just thought of a third person that's been affected that way. And I know several people that have been impacted negatively by these type of government programs that are not monitored properly, that there are no higher ups. You can have one individual just go in and wreak havoc on a private individual's life based on something that they're interpreting, okay? And there doesn't seem to be any overseeing body that says, well, no, this person is okay, leave them alone. You know, you can have like one person in the government just wreak havoc on another one and destroy them based on their own interpretation of data. That's what Snowden is talking about, and that's why he wanted the government, the U.S. people, to know what was going on. Again, I don't believe these programs are protecting us against terrorists. I think they're strictly just to spy on private individuals, and that's why I think what he's heroic.
For what purpose?
For what I just said.
But I don't – well, then I'm missing something, because the purpose is just to spy on them, to defame them, to discredit them, to – as individuals, explain why you think – that would be the purpose of doing anything. Is explain that again, Shelley, because I'm missing the main point that you're trying to make, I guess, because for me it should, you know, that doesn't even make sense to me. Who cares if it's not about hurting somebody, if it's not about doing something against our country, if it's not about any of those kind of things. So they want to know if I'm having an extramarital affair. They want
right,
to know if I cheated on my taxes.
Because they can use it against you.
In how? To do
because
what?
If they know something negative about you, they can use that against you to control you, almost like blackmail. If somebody knows something negative about you, they can coerce you into doing things that you may not normally do based on having this other information about you. Look, either you do this or we're going to divulge this information on you. So like I said, I love this country. I think that the majority of the people, even in government jobs, are very patriotic, and they do look out for, you know, for each other. All right, we've talked about that before. But unfortunately, throughout every industry there is, throughout every job, including the government, all right, there are people that are in there for self-serving purposes, to rake in money, to advance things that are not beneficial for the masses, but are very beneficial for them. You've heard of higher ups in the government that don't even pay taxes anymore, that are constantly just raking in money hand over fist. Meanwhile, their constituents are barely above middle class. There's a lot of decision making being done that put the power and the money into a few people's hands and actually withdraw it from the masses. And I think a lot of these programs have to do with keeping an eye on what's going on there, so that certain government factions can understand more about what the population is doing and stay in control, making sure that no individual or area of the country is becoming too powerful where it would be something that would be able to, not be controlled by the government. And that is, again, that's how things happened in Nazi Germany. You know, they were looking at controlling the people, and they very, very slowly started taking their rights away. When people are not concerned about their rights being taken away, that's when you set yourself up for a dictatorship or for what we saw happen in Nazi Germany. And the fact that people aren't questioning it because we use this facade of 9/11 to justify it is a concern to me. Because there's other programs out there other than these three that find drug dealers and terrorists. I do not believe that the programs Snowden is talking about were being used for that purpose.
Well, according to I watched the interview with Brian and Edward, but I kept getting interrupted. So I went online to read some of his statements, and he does say that he thinks he's a patriot. And he said, "I think patriot is a word that's thrown around so much that it can be devalued nowadays. Being a patriot doesn't mean prioritizing service to government above all else. Being a patriot means knowing when to protect your country, knowing when to protect your constitution, and knowing when to protect your countrymen from the violations of and the encroachments of adversaries. And those adversaries don't have to be foreign countries." Now, that whole statement to me is honest, truthful, and I don't disagree with it. That assessment drew a sharp response from U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, who spoke with NBC earlier Wednesday. "Patriots don't go to Russia. They don't seek asylum in Cuba. They don't seek asylum in Venezuela. They fight their cause here," Kerry said. "Edward Snowden is a coward. He is a traitor, and he has betrayed his country. And if he wants to come home tomorrow to face the music, he can do so." So, two different points of view. Two valuable different points of view. Very different, very easy to disagree with what John Kerry said. But he has a point, Shelley. He still has a point. Then he goes on to say, Snowden says he was trained as a spy. U.S. President Barack Obama famously referred to Snowden as a hacker last year, and the other officials have described him as a low-ranking analyst. "That's misleading," Snowden said. "I was trained as a spy in sort of the traditional sense of the word, in that I lived and worked undercover, overseas, pretending to work in a job that I am not, and even being assigned a name that was not mine," Snowden said. "Now the government may deny these things. They may frame it in certain ways and say, oh, well, you know, he's a low-level analyst. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to use one position that I've had in a career here or there to distract from the totality of my experience." Now, that sounds, that could be highly debatable because that's Edward Snowden, protecting himself. But it certainly sounds like something that could happen to anybody. I don't disagree with that either. Russia isn't where he expected to end up, but he's managing. "I personally am surprised that I ended up here," Snowden said. "The reality is I never intended to end up in Russia. I had a flight booked to Cuba, onwards to Latin America, and I was stopped because the United States government decided to revoke my passport and trap me in the Moscow airport. That I remember when that happened that day." Mm-hmm. And I believe that is absolutely true. "There's a culture gap, and it's been an adjustment." That's talking about living in Russia. "But even though I didn't choose to be here, even though circumstances really trapped me here, I can adapt. I can live life as an American, more or less. That's the beauty of the Internet, is that we're no longer tied to our communities by physical connections," he said. Like a lot of us, he's been spending his free time watching old episodes of The Wire. I'm really enjoying it, he said, although he said the second season isn't so great. I never watched The Wire, so he's not happy about some
either.
Of the things. Yeah, he's not happy about some of the things in the Russian government. And when I watched Brian tried to get him to, you know, talk about meeting with Putin and having conversations with him. And he said, no, that he didn't do that and hasn't been invited to do that and all that kind of stuff. But I'm not seeing anything about that in this article. There's 10 things in this article. Here's one thing, though, that kind of goes along with everything that you've just talked about as far as he says it only takes a cell phone for spy agencies in the United States and other countries to find out a lot about you if they want to. And that's even if you're just Googling something simple. Snowden said like a sports score. Williams told Snowden he'd recently searched for the score of a New York Rangers game. The NSA, the Russian Intelligence Service, the Chinese Intelligence Service, and any intelligence service in the world that has significant funding and a real technological research team can own that phone the minute it connects to their network, Snowden said. They can turn on a phone remotely if it's off, he said, and even a detail like a Google search for a sports score can reveal a lot about you. You probably speak English. You are probably an American. You are interested in this sport. They might know what your habits are, Snowden said. Where were you in the world when you checked the score? Do you check it when you travel? Do you check it when you're at home? They could tell your pattern of life. Where are you during these activities? When do you wake up? When do you go to sleep? What other phones are around you? Are you with someone who's not your wife? Are you someplace that you shouldn't be? But I think that paragraph, I think we all believe that that's true. When Spike was in Kaiser University, the lens on our computers so that we can take pictures of ourselves with our computers.
Uh-huh.
One of his teachers told him to cover that with a Post-it.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I've
he
heard that about, like, I have a webcam on my laptop, and somebody
told
me recently that I should put a little sticket over that because even if I'm not turning my webcam on to use it to go out, that people have technology to use that to look into my room.
That's what this professor told Spike. That's exactly what this professor told Spike. Well, I find that very amusing. If somebody's watching me, when I come in to do the show in the morning, sometimes I'm ready to go someplace, but that's only if I have an appointment. Otherwise, you see me in my house coat, my hair all disheveled, and no eyebrows on. So live it up, everybody.
Yes, bring it on, baby.
If you really want to see this picture in the morning, have at it, sweetheart. So, but again, you know, and of course, that's how simple I keep it in my own mind. In my own mind, I don't do anything wrong. And could somebody make something of some of the things I do? Sure, because now, like you just said, for this show, I do a lot of research. Most of it has to do with current news, which, of course, would include Snowden. I don't usually look up things where there's a whole lot of political controversy, although somebody else may think that there is, and when my head isn't there, their head may be there. So I agree with all the things you said about how it can hurt somebody else because somebody else is is judging your behavior. It doesn't mean that they really know who you are or what you're doing, by the way. It just means that they think that they do. So,
right.
But in this, one of the most important things that I want to share with everybody, because this is one of the things that upset me, and I waited, although we did talk about it very early on, was the fact that he chose to talk to, what was the name of it, the Grapevine or the, I don't know, some off-the-wall media newspaper or something. And I thought to myself, you know, why didn't you go to somebody more important? And I wondered if we were going to find out that he did. Why did Snowden leak classified documents? He said he had no choice. The reality is the situation determined that this needed to be told to the public. The Constitution of the United States has been violated on a massive scale, Snowden told Williams. Now, had that not happened, had the government not gone too far and overreached, we wouldn't be in a situation where whistleblowers were necessary. The U.S. government, Snowden said, is using the threat of terrorism to justify programs that have never been shown to keep us safe, but cost us liberties and freedoms that we don't need to give up, and our Constitution says we shouldn't give up. Now, that's exactly different words, but exactly what Shelley has just shared with us. He says he tried to go through official channels before leaking the information, but met dead ends. Among the people he contacted, Snowden said, was the NSA's General Counsel Office. I reported that there were real problems in the way the NSA was interpreting its legal authorities, Snowden said. And the response, more or less in a bureaucratic language, was, you should stop asking questions. On Thursday, the NSA released what it said was a copy of an email exchange between Snowden and its General Counsel Office. Snowden's email asked for clarification of a training course material and did not raise allegations or concerns about wrongdoing or abuse, according to the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. So, I take from that whole last two paragraphs that we're only being told what people want us to hear. And of course,
right.
That
according to Snowden, on the larger interview, he said there were numerous written requests to several offices. It wasn't just to the legal office. He said there's definitely a paper trail, and so far, just the legal office is the only one that corroborated that, and only one email. He said there were multiple emails, and he said that. You know, he said if they still exist, he said the Freedom of Information Act, and I think that the news agency has already requested them based on the Freedom of Information Act, and so far they've only gotten the one reply. But if Snowden is telling the truth about that, what happened to all the other correspondents? How come nobody's come up with them yet? Because he told them what offices that he wrote to, and who he wrote to, so how come the only one that's responded is the one? But the other ones haven't denied it, they just haven't, they haven't produced them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's, therein lies the whole problem. Who do you believe? Who do you trust? Who is trustworthy? Who is believable? And at the end of the day, who is open enough to discuss something when they know good and well that they've made a mistake? Who is going to step up to a plate and say, you're right, you know, I did some of these things, I didn't do some of the other ones, I should have stopped this, anything. But will we ever get that kind of honesty, that kind of truth? I doubt it.
The only thing is if, and this is an if, okay, now I've already voiced my opinion that I think that he comes across credible, he comes across that this was very deliberate, that it was well thought out, that this wasn't a knee-jerk reaction, and he does not come across as a nut to me, okay? So that's just my opinion based on what I've seen so far and some of my personal dealings that I've had, okay, in certain situations, okay? But if, in fact, he is telling the truth about that, then I don't believe he's a coward. And the reason I'm saying that is because he understands how the government works, he would not have been able to adequately defend himself. He would have been incarcerated, hushed up, and very likely not see the light of day again, okay? So I don't blame him for leaving the country because that's the only way that he can perpetuate his word
let people know why he did what he did without being hushed up, okay? I don't think that's cowardly. I think that's common sense, you know? He feels very strongly that what he did was patriotic, and again, and this is qualitative, if in fact he's correct about the information that he divulged, that it was not being used to catch drug lords, that it was not being used to catch terrorists, that he did not divulge any military secrets. If all of that is true, then I agree with him that what he did was patriotic because he was trying to tell the American people, hey, don't sit back there like sheep and just allow the government to wash away all your liberties. We can protect ourselves against outside enemies without doing away with our internal liberties. And that's basically what he's talking about. So if, in fact, he's being accurate about the fact that he didn't divulge military secrets and things like that, then I agree he is patriotic, and I do not believe he was cowardly. I think he was just using some common sense and keeping himself out of harm's way while the dust was settling and he got to tell more of his story.
Well, I want to go now to some of the comments, because as usual, the comments are varied, and it does give us an opportunity to discuss what other people think. Snowden was a person who signed documents in order to obtain clearance to work in a field of secrecy. On those documents he signed was the threat of being charged with espionage if he were to reveal secret information. There are thousands that know what he knows. He is the only one to break the rules. He has exposed information that puts all of us in jeopardy. He is no hero. He is a traitor. Now, that's one. And then you have whistleblowing, by its very nature, requires some breaking the law, because often policies are in place to prevent such people from speaking out. He's a patriot and a hero. So, but this one, I wanted to, whistleblowing involves breaking some laws, whether federal, state, or just contractual. That doesn't make every crime that dislodges information beneficial to the U.S. public whistleblowing. Otherwise, I just publish all of Monsanto's proprietary technology files and include a few lines about tax evasion, and boom, I'm helping their rivals, and I would have immunity via whistleblowing laws. So now that this guy just took it out of politics and everything and put it into the world of money and advertisement and things like that. But you also have a story about about all the whistleblowers that I found to be interesting, and I don't know if this is true, but this person gives his a name. He doesn't have a made up name or something like that. He has an actual name, and he says 8 out of the last 9 U.S. federal government whistleblowers were charged with, but later acquitted, of treason. The track record isn't clear. Don't say anything bad about government, even if it is really bad. Were he to return to the United States, he would undergo a trial through the Department of Justice. Reread what Snowden said. There would be no public trial or any chance for him to have a fair trial, because it would all be hush-hush for national security. Take up Snowden's challenge. Find and post any evidence of his leaks having caused any deaths. So, I mean, that's a pretty deep, accusation, and it's also a challenge that I don't even know how somebody would accept a challenge like that make a challenge like that work. I don't even know how you'd do that. But it's interesting, some of the different points of view that these people have, and that they believe, and they speak eloquently. They all believe that they're right. One man very simply says, good, he lied to get the contract job. He was not a $122,000 a year employee without a college degree or any advanced technical certification. That's a good point of view. That's a good point. In one of the articles that came up when I brought all this up was the fact that they said that he was a, you know, didn't have even a college education, that he was, you know, let me see if I can still find it.
College education.
He's a high school dropout. He's a high school dropout who worked his way into the most secretive computers in the U.S. intelligence as a defense contractor. Now, that was something that was written in one of the other newspapers, and it's, you know, and anybody can write anything, and anybody can believe anything. And some of the things that we've read here today and some of the information that we've taken today, I don't know if these are direct quotes. They say that they are. But, you know, you change one word in a sentence, Shelley, and you change the whole meaning of it. So who knows?
All right, but think about this, because I've heard the college thing before. All right, I'm not a college graduate, and I have excelled at – I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm making a statement here, okay? I've worked in at 8 or 9 different companies now in five different industries, and within literally several months in the industry, I would excel over my college-educated counterparts, where I would actually rise up, you know, into management positions. In the last two companies I worked at as a compliance analyst. I have no college background. I have no business formal business education. I don't have an MBA. I have no college education, whatever. I'm just a high school graduate, all right? And yet every time I've gone into any industry, I've excelled because I'm a quick study. I'm able to teach myself things. There are people out there that are just really, you know, they can learn easily. And I would go in and I would learn everything about an industry, and I would teach myself, and I would end up becoming, you know, an integral part of the management of many of the companies I work for. So just not being a college graduate is meaningless to me, because I worked with a lot of college graduates that were borderline incompetent at certain positions. I think we're too impressed. I think college education is a wonderful thing, and my hat is off to people that are that disciplined and get through college and have good grades and things like that. But just having a college degree does not mean that you are more capable than someone without, and if you do not have a college education, it does not mean you're not intelligent and sharp and that you can't excel. All right? They're not, you know, these things are not, you know, mutually exclusive of each other.
Well, and you know I agree with that. I mean, I can remember so many years ago working at the Rosebud Restaurant in Ithaca, New York, and having all of the hotel management students try to get a job at the Rosebud, and they were going to Cornell University, one of the most prestigious universities in the United States, and they didn't know how to make change out of the cash register.
There you go.
And back in those days, they were point-of-sale registers, so if you didn't know how to count up your pennies, your nickels, your dimes, and your quarters, if you handed most of those kids a $50 bill, they could not make change for a $50 bill. 20s, they could do. Dollars, they could do. But if it was an odd increment, like a $50 bill, they'd stand and stare at that register until I'd have to step in front of them and make change. So I don't disagree with any of that, but I do also believe that if you are really have this real amazing IQ, that sometimes that little stuff evades you because your mind is wrapped up in deeper things. That's what I've always told myself. My husband has an extremely high IQ and has no common sense. I, on the other hand, have a very low IQ, I'm sure, not that I've ever tested it because I thought it would probably make me cry for too long, but
no,
I have
think
great
you have a
common
high IQ.
Sense.
IQ has nothing to do with book learning. To me, you have such a high level of common sense and you can really analyze situations. I think you would end up having a high IQ. That's
well,
just my,
I guess we probably won't ever find out because it's not that important to me to know that. And I think I'd just rather think that maybe it is high, but it probably isn't. So I probably be better off not knowing.
Think about this, Rainey. I mean, if what they're saying is true, that he got this job by lying about his background, isn't that sort of a red flag?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get that kind of a high-level intrusive job and by lying and not having the government agencies that putting you in control of secret documents not know that you were lying?
Let me ask you something. How many jobs in your lifetime have you taken and given them all the information that they've requested when you go and fill out your application, give them your resume, give them a series of references, personal and business references? How many times do you absolutely, positively know for sure that they followed up and found out about you? How many times?
Twice. Two different companies that I applied to. And the reason I know that is because once I got hired, I actually worked with the human resources director, and I would actually see that she was calling on people's references and checking. She would be going on and checking their credit scores and stuff like that, you know, for potential hires, because they wanted to make sure they weren't hiring people that had heavy debt and things like that. So, yeah, so I don't know that all companies do it. I think a lot don't. I think a lot take your information and don't follow up. But I do know two of the companies that I worked for. They were both military installations, military manufacturing subcontractors, and they did do credit checks, they did background checks, and they would check on the on references. If you gave them like three references, they had to call on two out of the three before they could approve you to be hired.
Mm-hmm.
So I think more in the military it happens more, because again, these were military subcontractors that I worked for that did it.
Well, I know of once in my almost 50 years of working, I know of once. And that was for a Denny's restaurant after I left upstate New York in 1982. They called my references in Ithaca, New York. And the only reason I knew that they did it was the manager came out and looked at me and he said, "I think you should just take my job. According to the guy I just talked to, you can do anything. Otherwise, I wouldn't have even known that." So,
wow.
And I don't ever, I was never asked for that. I've been the executive housekeeper. I've been the food and beverage manager. I've been the GM. I've been the assistant GM. I've been all of these things, but a lot of them I started out as one thing and rose to something else. So perhaps maybe that's the reason why maybe I was being considered for something, less technical or important, but that's not where I stayed. But I don't, I've even asked, like, personal references. Did you get a call from so-and-so and ask about me? No, never. So, and in my capacity as a general manager, I can tell you that if I really liked somebody and they came in and did an interview, unless it was a position where I thought that they would be handling money and things like that, I seldom followed up. I went with my gut instinct as to whether or not I liked them.
Well, also to keep in mind, Rainey, that you were more in the hospitality industry, and I was more in military subcontracting. So maybe that's why I saw that more than you, because I was in more of a phase that I worked for had to have security clearances with the government. So they were really under military guidelines as to who they could hire and who they couldn't. If you had a criminal background, you couldn't be hired. So they had to do background checks. Because you actually had to sign a waiver. I remember when I got hired, you had to sign a waiver saying that you knew that they were doing a background check on you, that if you had any, felonies or convictions or whatever in your background, to let them know right then and there, because they were going to be doing this background check. And they did. They had to, because they couldn't hire people with certain types of background. So I know that certain types of industries are actually required to do these background checks. So that's why I'm very doubtful of some of the claims of people that he got the job through falsifying records, because it's in an area of the government that they would have had to know that.
Well, it seems
so
like
now they're throwing out stuff just to discredit him.
Yeah, well, and that's what happens. That's exactly what happens when we can't, you know, really, if somebody doesn't hurt themselves, we help them hurt themselves. So that's what we do. So we're out of time, but tomorrow is Bullies to Buddy Day, and speaking of bullying, I would say that that's a little bit about what's happening here. I still haven't made a complete decision as whether I think he was right or wrong. I'm glad it's not my responsibility. But everybody go out there and have a great day. It's kind of miserable and rainy and everything here in South Florida right now, but I'm sure the sun will come out later. So we'll be back tomorrow. Everybody go out and have a great day. God bless. Thanks, Shel.
Thanks, Reen. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Bye-bye.